Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. I am your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I welcome to the show the newsletter guru, Jim Palmer. Jim is a marketing and business building expert, and he is the host of Newsletter Guru TV and Stick Like Glue Radio. He is best known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, as I mentioned. He's the go-to resource for maximizing the profitability of customer relationships and all kinds of business relationships, honestly. He is the author of 4 books, and you can find those on his websites. He'll tell you how to reach him in just a moment. Now, I don't know about you, but my email box regularly delivers up a whole lot of conflicting information and advice about newsletters. Yes, no, why bother? It gets very confusing and frustrating. And today Jim is going to help sort through all of that so we can better serve our customers, our clients, and our own business needs. Jim, I am so excited to have you on the show. I am a longtime subscriber to your newsletter, and I'm excited. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Denise.
Oh, anytime. So you mentioned in the green room that you had a bit of a rant, I think you called it. I can't wait to hear it.
Well, every once in a while you get charged up. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, I'm best known as the newsletter guru, and I provide newsletter templates and content to a lot of entrepreneurs and small business owners. And so, you know, we can talk about what makes a profitable newsletter, and I'm happy to share some of my secrets with your listeners. But, you know, it really is all about client retention. And while I know a lot of these topics that I just mentioned can probably fill an hour or a couple hours, I've had something on my mind lately, and I thought, man, I'm going to use Denise's show to kind of vent a little bit, but it's going to be good. It's going to be kind of tough love sometimes you need to hear. So are you ready?
Yes. Before we get too started, though, tell people where they can find you, your websites, and then go for it. I love a good rant.
Okay.
I've been known to instigate a few myself.
Well, good. Well, as you know, I've got, I don't even know how many websites, but the one website which will get to me, where I have my videos, my podcasts, newsletters, all kinds of things, is getjimpalmer.com. That's www.getjimpalmer.com, and everything else I do can be found from that website.
Okay. So what are we talking about today? This is all about you.
Well, you know, this may give some listeners some pause, but or maybe even a little angst, but it should really resonate with quite a few people who are trying to build what I like to call a real business. You know, I've been talking to a lot of entrepreneurs and small business owners just like yourself, and even through my books, the talks I give, videos, you know, but I think the last 6 months or so, you know, I've been trying to turn up the heat, or let's call it enthusiasm, a little bit on trying to spread the message that there really is no silver bullet or magic pill to build a successful and profitable business. I'm just seeing way too much of this kind of hype out there. And, you know, in full disclosure, Denise, you know, I have the patience of a gnat, as my wife likes to tell me. And I, too, like fast results, so I'm not talking about, you know, not using massive action implementation. I'm a big fan of that. I'm a big fan of getting fast results, which I also love. But Denise, what I'm talking about is helping entrepreneurs and small business owners build real businesses that have, they're sustainable, they're building equity and real value. And, you know, the major equity for any business owner is going to be when they have a large and fully engaged list of customers or clients or patients. I'll say customers a lot, but I kind of mean all of the above.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, I think the real truth in that message is that it just flat out takes time to develop these relationships. And, you know, I don't necessarily want to be negative, so let me characterize this again as a little straight talk. And I think, you know, too many people are looking to go from zero to a six-figure business or multiple six figures or million-dollar business without doing a lot of the legwork. That's just, it's just necessary to build what I like to refer to as a strong, healthy, reliable, predictable, dependable, profitable relationship with each and every client they have. And you know the old expression, Denise, you can't ask somebody to marry you on the first date, or I suppose you could, but it's probably not sound advice. And in you know what I mean? And in business, it's just that same way. You can't ask a cold prospect, somebody who just gets either a postcard, direct mail, newsletter, or happens to land on your website, you can't ask them to automatically give you $10,000 or $25,000 for your most expensive program. And I'll just give you a quick example of what I'm talking about. Just earlier this week, I'm working with a new coaching client. In this course of a conversation that we had, I think, on Tuesday, I found out that he got on my list 2 years ago, started watching my videos, gets my newsletter every week. He's bought a couple of my books, and then we had a conversation, and he decided, "Yep, this you're the one I want to work with." Now, that was 2 years, Denise. So, it just takes time, and you know, I quite frankly, I think some of the impatience is a reaction to the sputtering economy that you know we've had for the last you know 4 or 5 years, and for a lot of small business owners, I think they're making what I call cash flow decisions instead of smart business decisions, and I certainly get that. But again, you just if you're going to build a real business, you just got to be delivering value, and you've got to serve your clients, and it just takes time, and eventually momentum kicks in, and you know off you are to the races. So I'll take a breath now. I hope that rant wasn't too bad.
No, and listen, you didn't say anything there that I haven't said or heard myself from you know other visitors to the show. And what you said, and you said it a couple of times, and that key word for me is relationships. We are in the age of relationship marketing. There's no question about it. With the advent of social media marketing and Facebook and all the things that are going on, you can't just come plant a sign in my yard and say, you know, buy my insurance now. I'll burn your sign down. It's just, and you're right. I think the market has a lot to do with it right now. And I'm seeing the same thing happen in my industries, web development, and more particularly the virtual assistants, online business manager sector. People are jumping into this industry and going, why can't I get clients? Why can't I get the fees I want? Well, you haven't built relationships. You haven't proven yourself. You haven't gotten referrals. And they don't understand that. They want that money right now. It doesn't work like that.
Now, you know, I want to recommend a book. It's called The Slight Edge by Jeff Olson. I read it a few months ago. I've already reread it. It's one of these books that it's almost life-changing or business-changing, almost like a Think and Grow Rich type of book. But the information in it is not revolutionary, but it just tends to very easily crystallize what you need to do. And I'll just kind of give you a really brief synopsis. And I think the problem for many entrepreneurs is that it's so easy to do certain things every day in your business, and it's also easy not to do them. Mm-hmm. And if you do them, it doesn't produce a big result, so you can't feel great. And if you don't do them, it doesn't produce an immediate negative reaction. And so whether you do them or not is actually quite easy. Yet when you do these things day in and day out, it builds momentum and things happen. So, you know, in my business, you know, for example, I do – as we've mentioned, I do a weekly video, weekly podcast, I do newsletters, I'm all over social media doing all this, and, you know, running the different businesses that I have and coaching other entrepreneurs takes a lot of time, and there are many weeks, probably every single week, where I have this little voice in my head go, I don't have time to do this week's video or podcast. I don't want to sit down and write another newsletter. Maybe I'll stop posting, you know, into Facebook or other social or my blog. But then I'll remind myself that this is going to be the week that either somebody finds me or this is going to be the week that somebody reads something else or watches a video and says, yeah, this is really just like happened earlier. This is who I want to work with. And so It is doing these little things and building momentum, time, you know, day in and day out. I call it planting seeds. Just like a farmer will plant a seed and he'll water it over time. When we plant seeds by way of like your podcasts, blogs, all these different things, and we nurture it over time, so I call that drip marketing, like drip irrigation in the farmer's world, you know, you eventually you are going to reap a harvest, but it is doing these things day in and day out and doing them constantly and not stopping. Those are the people who are really doing well right now, the people who continue to plant seeds and nurture and develop relationships by providing value to their clients.
Right. And, you know, here's my position. If you set yourself up as a resource, a go-to resource, whatever it is that your niche or market is, and you do that consistently, and you do it with heart and soul and humor, and you're not asking for the sale every 5 minutes, people do, like your guy did with you, after about 2 years or 6 months or 5 years, whatever it takes, all of a sudden they are absolutely sold, and they're not going to work with anybody but you. It happens all the time. But you have to set up that, and I'm not going to even call it a marketing campaign, you just have to become a resource, and a genuine resource, I think. Am I wrong?
No, absolutely. You know, a good friend of mine, Bob Berg, wrote a book called The Go-Giver.
Love Bob.
He co-authored it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I just love it. It's so ingrained. I can't even talk about being a giver, and I flip right into being a go-giver. But, you know, it is all about delivering the value on a regular basis. And that's really the message that Bob teaches in his book.
Yeah, he's been on the show several times, too. And he is, that book, if you haven't gotten it, grab it. Now, give me the title of your books, if you don't mind.
Sure. My first book, again, based on the niche of which I'm known, is called The Magic of Newsletter Marketing, The Secret to More Profits and Customers for Life. My second book is called Stick Like Glue, How to Create an Everlasting Bond with Your Customers So They Spend More, Stay Longer, and Refer More. And my third book is called The Fastest Way to Higher Profits, 19 Immediate Profit-Enhancing Strategies You Can Use Today. And my fourth book, which came out just about this time last year, is called It's Okay to Be Scared But Never Give Up, and it's a book that I co-authored with my good buddy Martin Howie. And that's a little bit of a different book. It's a book of hope and inspiration for life and business. And Martin and I are both cancer survivors, and we want to tell our stories. But then we also interviewed 9 other, you know, highly successful entrepreneurs, and we asked them all the same 3 questions, Denise. We said, what's the greatest challenge that you faced in your life? And we didn't say it had to be business. It could be anything they want. How'd you get through it? And then we asked them to share some business wisdom that can, you know, help make this a better year. And the book has been phenomenal. I mean, it was just an amazing, amazing journey writing that book.
I can imagine it would be. Here, I do have a question, though, because I'm listening to you recount these titles, and I know that you're very busy on your websites and your social media, your speaking, everything you do. How do you do it? I'm not the only one who wants to know. I'm going to tell you right now. There are going to be people saying, is he Superman? How does he do this? How do you manage your time?
Well, I have a lot of help. And, you know, I started my business 12 years ago, and I somewhat tongue-in-cheek said I had one line, no employees, because I had been in retail and had hundreds of employees. I was responsible for it. It was a big drag. And mm-hmm. So I did not want employees, but I have a whole team of virtual assistants. I think I'm up to 10 right now that do a number of things for me. I've got a really key, really awesome assistant, VA. She's actually in Canada, so that's the cool thing. Virtual assistants mm-hmm. can be anywhere.
We work all over the world.
Isn't that, it's so much fun, and
yeah.
So I've got writers, I've got website guys, I've got guys, people that blast my videos, I've got people that, you know, help edit my books. In fact, that's one of the things, it's another reason to write a book, is as soon as I get a book, I give it to somebody on my team and say, okay, give me 100 blog posts, and you can just go in there and have them created, so you're never at a loss for content. But I've got a transcriptionist, so I have people that do all these different things, And the rule of thumb for me is if you can hire somebody, whether it's $10 or $15, $20, $30, $50 an hour to do something, you should do that, because when you look at what your time's worth, my time's worth hundreds of dollars an hour. So what should I be doing, either working with a coaching client or marketing my own business, or should I, you know, be licking stamps, so to speak? And there's an old expression, because I don't think you lick stamps anymore, but you know what I'm saying, you know. Or doing, there's so many things that I could do, because I'm not a complete, you know, unintelligent man, but there's things I shouldn't be doing, because there are things I should be doing. And that's, you know what, Denise, the thing that I've learned a long time ago, and I must admit, I was probably kind of dragged to the whole VA world kicking and screaming, because, you know, even like 6-7 years ago, I was having real serious cash flow, and it was week to week and things like that. And the thought of hiring somebody and putting out more money when I could easily do it myself, and even when I had started No Hassle Newsletters, I remember stuffing the monthly envelopes, you know, and I would do it in my den at night, thinking, okay, this is, I'm balancing family time and work time, so they can see me, but I'm still doing work, and then I'm running them up to the post office and all that. And then it somebody actually finally pushed me into hiring my first virtual assistant. And it's always a situation, I think, and I think this might be helpful for the listeners, it is a cart before the horse situation most of the time, but it's one of those you have to step out in faith. And as long as you're a person who says to yourself, okay, just because I'm going to get freed up an hour's worth of my time doesn't mean I'm going to go sit in a hammock or do something else. That's not my style. I know it's not yours. You know, I'm working a lot. And so, but I'm doing things that are going to bring a much bigger harvest. It's going to produce a much larger, you know, return on the investment of my time. And so very, very quickly, when you do make that leap to hiring a VA, it comes back in multiples, because you're able to get stuff done. I was able to get my first book done. I mean, you know, things that sit on your to-do list forever, when I suddenly started getting this help, it freed me up to do, you know, high revenue tasks.
And that's such a great way to put it, because, and I had to learn this myself. I mean, I am a VA and OBM. I'm a web developer. And honestly, there's nothing that I don't ask my team to do that I can't do myself. Now, there's a lot of it I won't do and I shouldn't do, because they're just not high-level tasks. You know, they don't require a lot of technical ability or even creativity. And I have great team members that I say, okay, do this, do this, do this, do this. And I'm doing the high-level stuff, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes perfect sense. It frees you up tremendously.
You know, what's funny is it has been so long since I've actually sent out one of my own newsletters. So what I do is every Thursday, so I set up multiple recurring appointments in my calendar, because so much goes on that I just have to constantly be reminded. I've been doing my newsletter for, I think, 6 years. I still have a recurring appointment every Thursday, write Tuesday's newsletter, right? So I'll sit down and I'll write the newsletter, and basically I give somebody on my web team a Word document with everything that's in there, with pictures, you know, calendar items, things like that. And so he comes back to me either Friday or over the weekend with a proof, and I look at it, and I might make a couple edits. And then on Monday, I have a recurring appointment to write the note, which I always like to be topical and somewhat current, you know, or I might mention something the weekend or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I write the note, and that goes in last, and then he blasts it out on Tuesday. I don't have the first darn idea how I would get that out. I really don't.
But, you know, I remember your very early newsletters. I do. I remember them. When I tell you I've been following you around for a while, I'm not kidding. And I looked at some of them and I thought, and I hate to even tell you this, I couldn't afford you. I mean, back in the day when I first started, I thought, man, I can't do it. And I never could figure out a way to actually do it. And then, you know, it's one of those things that came and went, oh, I'll just do it myself. And then I started looking at your templates, and I really liked them. And then you switched everything, and you really jumped. I don't know if you remember this or not. You had kind of these HTML templates, and everything was, they were good. But then all of a sudden, they got great. I mean, like, boom. You just, it's like you jumped into the new century just all of a sudden. Do you remember that transition?
Yes, I do. It was like 2006.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Denise, I started kind of closing off, or my first business, I was writing and designing newsletters, working with clients one-on-one. I was the chief cook and bottle washer.
Mm-hmm.
I built a very nice business over, 4 years. And then a very big turning point for me was my wife, Stephanie, said, "We haven't been on vacation in years. Like, when can we go?" And it scared me to death, because I if I go on vacation, my business shuts down.
Right.
And I thought, I didn't build a business. I built a job. Now it's nice because it's mine. But so I immediately started figuring out leverage, and that was the key word for me. How can I leverage my time and my skill in writing newsletters so that instead of creating a newsletter that one client pays me for, I could have hundreds of clients pay me for? And that's when I started building No Hassle Newsletters, and it was just an incredible experience, and it was really eye-opening how when I got my first client, I think it was in Canada, that was outside the U.S., and then I got one in England, Australia, and when I hit nine countries, I had no idea there were 9 English-speaking countries outside the U.S., and it was like, holy smokes, and all these people are finding me, and one of the keys for me is I have never been afraid to invest in my future success, and so I've talked to people, and they say, "Well, I'm just going to grow, but I'm not going to incur debt." Well, I said, "Well, you're going to be growing awful slow for an awful long time."
Yeah.
And so I was never afraid to basically, and here's the language that, very smart mindset coach, someone I won't mention her name, but she helped me get over some of my mindset issues regarding money.
Would her first initial be S?
No.
No? Okay. Somebody else in it. Might be
Donnie. MBS, no.
But, I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'll say it's Melanie Benson Strick. She's a great friend, and she's one of the most awesome. She has tweaked my brain, my entrepreneurial brain, so successfully, and she's helped me get over. And so, let's face it, when you start a business, you incur debt. And one of the things that I did, which was charging some of my early years on credit cards, and I'm looking at those bills and I'm thinking, oh, this is awful, and it's very detrimental. And the way I finally figured it out was I am borrowing money from a bank. This is a business loan, and I will pay it off, but I need to go exhibit at that trade show. I need to send out this direct mail piece. I need to do all these different things to build my business, because I know this, you cannot save your way to higher profits. You have to build your business and grow your business, because if you can grow your business, by $50,000 or $100,000, you're going to just dwarf, whatever you've been charging. Mm-hmm. So I've never been afraid to invest in my future success, and even to the point where, and everything we go through in life is just a learning experience, and sometimes I'll be talking with a potential coaching client, and they'll say, "Well, can I pay you after I get the results?" Or, absolutely not.
What?
Well, you get all questions like that. Or,
sure.
I'll pay you double if I can just do it later. I said, no, you know what? Here's the thing. Until you have skin in the game, you're not going to take your business seriously. So I remember many a Friday. Boy, we're going on a conversation I never thought we'd go on here. But
this is what I love about my radio show. I get to talk with people, and it just goes wherever it wants to go. And some of these conversations are absolutely amazing. So keep on going. You're doing great.
So, Denise, and it's still so real to me. I can remember Fridays, which would be bill paying day. And, I pay my printers and pay my VA help. And here I am, the owner of the company, and I don't have enough to pay myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm barely enough to send a lot. And what I'll do is I'll look for a credit card that's got a low interest rate, and I'll run it through my virtual terminal, and I'll deposit $1,000, $2,000. And I got a little bit of grimace right in my stomach, but I always knew these two things.
It just hurt my stomach. Are you kidding?
I knew that I was going to be highly successful. I knew I had a great work ethic. I knew I was smart. I knew I knew a lot about marketing. And more than that, I knew I had a passion to help people grow their business and to connect with their clients and customers. And all I had to do was wait until the momentum kicked in and word of mouth would kick in. So even though it was a little painful to do that, I never doubted for a minute that I would have that debt paid off. And I do. I do not have that debt anymore. But there are many of Fridays where I'm like, oh, gulp, I have to take, and I never called it a charge another card. I had to go to a bank for another loan for my future success.
Well, I did something very similar. I had to have that come to Jesus talk with myself. Mm-hmm. Because when I'm building my own projects, and I build a lot of them, they're self-funded. You know, I don't have clients paying me for that work. So what I finally did, and I'm like you, I didn't want to go to a bank. I didn't want an SBA loan. I just, the thought of it just made the hair stand up on my head. So I got a business card, a business credit card, and I run everything through that, and I pay it off every month.
Yep.
And it works.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so that way I'm not taking money out of my savings or out of my business account. I pay it off, and then I write it off, a lot of it.
Now, that, you know, that is, it's a big thing that people have to overcome. And, you know, when I started my business, if you've been following me, so you probably know a little of my backstory. I had been out of work for like 15 months, and, you know, I just could not find a job. And during that time, after I'd been out of work for exactly a year, I was first diagnosed with cancer. So, I mean, my life was really messed up. And that was in 2001. In October of 2001, I just made a decision that I was going to have to take control of my life because, Denise, my confidence, my self-esteem was nothing. We were lost all the savings. We were into very big debt. And that's when I decided to start my business. And so I was starting with nothing. And the only way I could do it was I did get a part-time job, actually. Here's a little backstory for you. I would actually get up at 4 a.m., and I went down to the local Target, and I was stocking shelves in the back. I got out at 10 a.m., and I started building my business all day. And on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday night, I would drive anywhere to go to networking events, come home, get in bed to get up at 4 a.m. the next day, mm-hmm. until I started getting clients, and then I was able to quit my job. But, you know, you have to do what you have to do to get going. I guess that story right there goes right back to there is no magic pill or silver bullet. You just got to do the work and do what you need to do to grow your business, but never, ever, ever quit.
And that is brilliant. I mean, it really is. You know Larry Winget, right?
I do. I love him.
Me too. Larry tells a similar story. You know, when his company went completely belly up, he lost everything. He was mowing grass for his neighbors. I mean, he did whatever it took.
I
can't do. I don't want to, you know, go work at the local 7-Eleven. Yeah, you do. You know, you still have the evenings and the weekends. You do what you have to do.
You do what you have to do. I had four kids at home, and I remember this is the local Target right in my hometown. And, you know, I think this was, I'll tell you this flat out, this was the Lord working on me, right? So I'm mm-hmm. working in Target, and the store opened, I think, at 9, and my shift didn't over till 10, and sometimes I'd be out on the floor. And one of my friends came in, and I was in my red shirt and, you know, khaki pants.
Right.
And he said, "Wow, Jim, how do you feel about, like, working at Target?" And I said, "I feel great. I'm doing what I need to do to put food on the table for my kids."
That's exactly right.
And he said, "Good answer." Now, deep and down, I'm like, "Oh, crap, here comes a friend of mine." But it was like, you know, I really was. What am I going to do, let my kids starve? I'm not about to do that.
No. And that, to me, is the mark of a true entrepreneur. Whether you come to entrepreneurship because you need to or because you definitely just have a passion for it, or if you're somebody like me who just never occurred to me not to, I think I was probably an entrepreneur from the time I was a very, very young child. It's just what I do. It's what I know. But once you reach that moment, that pivotal moment that you had, you say, "Look, I'm going to do what it takes." From then on, it's not going to get easy, but the path gets clearer, I think.
Yeah.
I think once you drop that off, I'm too good to be working at Chick-fil-A or wherever it is. I don't want my neighbors to see me out there. You know what? It doesn't matter. Do what you need to do. And I think once you get straight in your own mind, things just start coming to you that you didn't expect them to come. Did you find that?
I did.
Things just kind of opened up for you?
Yeah, I'll share, I think, gosh, all these thoughts I want to get out, and my mouth isn't quick enough, but, you know, you said something that made me think about this. You know, results aren't guaranteed, but everybody gets the opportunity to take the shot. Everybody in this country has the opportunity to do what they want. It's whether or not they're willing to do the hard work, mm-hmm. and I think that's where the linchpin is. The second thing which popped in my head, so I'll say it real quick before I forget, is a friend of mine, Carrie Wilkerson, she's known as the Barefoot Executive. She had her great book published, and I was honored to be one of the case studies in it. And the publisher, I mean, grilled me. I mean, some serious, hardcore questions, not the usual, how do you make a great newsletter? They wanted to know about my journey. And so what I ended up sharing was my entire first year in business was what I call revenue free. That's how I refer to it. And revenue free. And so what that means is it took me a year to get my first client. Now, I was out, there were some Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays I was going to two or three chamber events or other anything I could find to network and go, you know, start my business. And I was doing that. Little did I know, I was doing what I knew I should have been doing, which was planting seeds. And after a while, it was just about 12 months, I got my first new client, which was a very large chamber of commerce. They had like 1,600 members, and I was my first real paying job was a 16-page newsletter. And right after that, I got another one and another one. So that when I talk about planting seeds and never stopping, you never know when your harvest is going to come in. So you, day in, day out, you gotta do what you need to do to keep planting seeds and building connections that eventually are going to turn into your harvest.
You really do. You know, you asked me a question in the green room, my virtual green room. I love to think that I have one. I don't.
Well, I love the pastries you have in there, by
that's
the way.
That's right. And did you like the coffee? That's from my Keurig.
Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, you asked me something before, you know, we got on the show, and you asked me who my audience was. And I had to say, honestly, I don't have a clue. Yeah, I'm assuming that they're business people or want to be business people or people are just interested in social media. I really don't know. But you said something so important because about a year and a half ago, I asked myself the same question. Who is my audience? Am I making any money out of this? What is this? What's in it for me? It was all me, 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 me. And I really thought, you know, I'm just not going to do this anymore. And it's fun, but I just don't know that there's any real benefit to me. I went in and I was going to shut the show down. And I happened to look at my stats for the first time ever, and I almost had a heart attack. I mean, I did not know that many people were tuning in. And then I went and I looked in iTunes and went, and I sucked in air again. I said, okay, I'll keep on doing this. It's fun. I enjoy it. So, but had I stopped doing it, I wouldn't get to talk with people like you. I wouldn't have the opportunity to have Melanie Benson Strick or John Morgan or Larry Wingate or Bob Berg, you know, any number of absolutely fascinating people on this program. And I get to learn so much from you. So sometimes what you're doing it just because it feels right. Does that make any sense?
It does. And, you know, I was at a conference just a couple weeks ago in Nashville. It was called Platform Seminar, Michael Hyatt, based on Michael Hyatt's book, Platform. Really a great, it was kind of a small, like I think about 140 people, but a really great conference. And I heard something, and it's exactly what I needed to hear, because as I said, I've been doing my newsletter for 6 years, I've been doing videos for 4 years, podcasts, I'm coming up in a year. I do all these things. And once in a while, that little voice that I have yet to squash completely says, who, Jim, nobody's watching, nobody's listening,
yeah,
nobody's reading this. You
that
know?
Was the voice I heard.
You know, and by the way, my own mother, when I say, Mom, do you know thousands of people watch my videos? And she goes, why would they do that? So, you know, well, thanks, Mom. But you know, when I check the stats, I'm amazed. But here's the thing. Once in a while, I don't know if you ever seen my videos, I ask for comments and, you know, like it and share it every single week. And not compared to the number of people that I know watch it, not many people do. And so every once in a while, I'll think, I get that negative, like, gosh, is anybody watching? And then when I go to seminars and people go, oh, how's Toby doing? He's my big beagle dog,
your
my
dog,
little friend.
Right.
And Jim, and they go, well, and here's the real kicker, Denise. They go, hey, Jim, have you been kayaking lately? I said, well, I do live in the Northeast, so it's really not appropriate right now. But that tells me they're watching the videos.
And so
actually, I think it was Carrie Wilkerson in her presentation. She said, you keep doing what you're doing, whether it's tweeting or blogging or anything, because you never know who's listening. And that I needed to hear that. You never know who's listening. And don't you know, about a couple weeks ago, somebody sent an email to my support staff and said, hey, I know every Friday Jim sends out these email reminders about what the video and the podcast of the week is. And could you tell him that picture that he puts in there about the weekly video, could you link that? So instead of just giving the URL for newsletterguru.tv, could you link it to that specific episode? I mean, that's almost a head slap, no brainer. Not sure why I wasn't doing that. But I did that. But that told, and then she followed up with, every Saturday morning I get and I watch Jim's video, so it just makes it easier. Now, I love that little comment. So there's actually somebody out there who every Saturday morning is saddling up on her couch and watching my video. And that is so powerful.
It really is. I mean, you just don't know. One of the very first people that I interviewed was Jack Humphreys, Friday Traffic Report at the time. And he said something that has always stuck with me in that interview, and this was, gosh, back in 2008, 2009, but it was so important, it really stuck. And he just basically said, listen, when you're out there and you're putting out your best work and your best advice and you're the resource that people are looking for, you may never, ever hear from anybody directly, but they're watching you. They always, you know, what you want to do is be available, be out there kind of in the corner of their eye. So when they do need your services or they do need your advice, you're top of mind. I mean, you're the first person they think of because you're always there in the corner of their eye. And I love that.
That is brilliant. That's really
good.
Wasn't
it? I was like, Jack, thank you. And his wife grew up in my backyard, literally. His wife, this where I live is an old plantation, and his wife grew up now where there's a housing development back there. So, you know, we made friends because of that. We both like gumbo. But, I mean, when he said that, I went, uh-huh. And that made absolute perfect sense. Look, I get referrals from people on Facebook, and I know you do. You may not know it. But people will, I'll get a note from somebody and say, okay, so-and-so on Facebook said that I really need to talk to you about my website, or I really need to hire you to be my virtual assistant. And I'll say, well, that's great, but who is so-and-so? And I'll have to track them down, introduce myself, and say thank you, because I have no clue who this person is. And that happens time and time again. It's not unusual. But they see what I'm doing. They like my work. I've had people say they like my sense of humor, which is a little frightening, because my sense of humor can get a little bit, well, I won't tell you what my mother says. My mother says that I'm one of those people that when I wake up in the morning, the devil says, oh, crap, she's awake. So,
Well, my wife reminds me, I have the sense of humor of a 15-year-old still. So,
there you go.
You know, with whatever we have. Can I share a really powerful strategy that I think your listeners are really going to like? And there's two lessons here, and I'll tell you right up front what they are. One of them is the power of listening to your audience, listening to your customers, prospects, whatever. And the second lesson is in the power of telling stories. So being a good storyteller, whether you're sitting around a fire telling or, you know, being interviewed like we are right now or writing in your blog, if you can tell a story instead, it's like telling instead of selling, it's going to be very, very powerful. So I'm going to tell you a story of how from 2006, when you mentioned my business started taking off, one of the best things I did, Denise, was listen and interact with as many of my clients and prospective clients as I can. So the story starts like this. So in 2006, when I started No Hassle Newsletters, it was because in my first business, I was, you know, writing and designing custom newsletters for individual clients. And each time I'd go to their office and take a meeting, they would say, Jim, you know why you're here, right? And I said, well, because I'm designing a newsletter. So, yeah, but more important than that, I never know what to put in my newsletter. I never know the type of content to put in it. I know we should have them, but, you know, that's what you do. And so in 2006, Denise, when I started transitioning, I started providing a lot of content, and that was the first kind of incarnation of No Hassle Newsletters. So I started providing pages and pages of articles that members could use, members in the membership site could use in their newsletters. Mm-hmm. Then when I started going out and exhibiting at different marketing events and trade shows, some clients would actually come up and say, well, we love the articles, but, you know, in your book, you know, the Magic Newsletter Marketing, you're talking about these different designs, and I don't have the budget to hire a designer, and how do I do that? And so I gave them a couple tips, but I immediately went back, and literally about 3 months later, I launched my No Hassle Newsletter Done For You templates. So now my program is templates and content, and by the way, I raised the membership price. Fast forward about another year, I'm exhibiting, and I can specifically remember this was in St. Louis. I was exhibiting at a Glaser Kennedy event. Client came up and said, love the newsletter, love the contents, the templates, but, you know, I know you always say they should be printed and folded a certain way, and my printer gives me fits. So literally 30 days later, I launched my concierge print and mail on demand program. So now I'm printing newsletters, and some months I'm doing 40,000 newsletters a month. Whoa. For clients and non-clients. I'll print anybody's newsletter. Then, Denise, I know you're familiar with my program, so I always suggest people write a lead article on the front of their newsletter about their business, because the stuff I write is kind of the filler or interesting content, but you need to write about your thing. And so people were telling me, sometimes, Jim, especially in the last couple of years, I don't even have time to sit down and write a 300-word article. Bing, I created the custom article generator. So I have all these writers that write content for me, and I will put my clients in touch with them, and I'll write a 300-word article for a very good price for my members. So each time, if you follow my progression, what I have done, Denise, is I have solved a pain that my customers had. And when I solve their pain, I make it easier for them to send out a newsletter, because the newsletter is going to do a great job for them. But the easier I make it for them, the longer they stay clients. So it's not completely unself-serving. So they're staying clients longer. And so the big story there is, first of all, I tell a story, and I've told that story from the stage, and I tell it in my books. So what happened is, in that story, I've told you a very important lesson about meeting and interacting and listening to your client's pain points.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here. Am I here?
Okay. Yeah, you disappeared for just a moment.
Okay. Did you catch the end of my story?
Yeah, I caught the pain point. Yes, I caught everything. And then you just kind of went dead there for a second.
I'll stop twisting in my chair.
And I think that it is so, so important. But you also said something in there, too, that grabbed my attention. You had a membership site long before they became kind of the norm, didn't you?
I did. I created
was
a membership
that,
site. Yep.
Was that because you listened to your customers? I mean, was that a result of you know, finding that need and then filling that need? Is that how that happened?
The membership site was not customer-driven. That was going to some smart people in the internet space and saying, how do I deliver this? And
gotcha.
And that's when I started learning about recurring revenue and, you know, don't just get paid once, have them sign up and then, you know, become a member. I said, what's a member? You know, how do the memberships? And that's when I really started expanding my virtual assistant staff. And one of the first people I hired is the guy who's, like, oversees all of my online presence today. Mm-hmm. And he knows all this stuff. And so, you know, probably another little nugget here is I don't have to know all that. I just got to find the people who can do it for me. I know how to market and grow my business, and I don't need to know, you know, I know how to record my videos, and I give it to my guy. He knows how to blast it and put it everywhere and tag it and name it, all this different stuff. All I do is market my business. I have other people know how to do the technical stuff.
I'm so glad you said that, because it's so important. Look, I started out as a one-person shop, and I darn near killed myself. I mean, I really did. You know, the part of it was I really couldn't afford to bring, or I thought I couldn't afford to bring on other people. And part of it, Jim, and I'm ashamed to say this, but hindsight is a wonderful tool. I was just too darn arrogant to do it. I knew it all.
Oh, yeah. And that's a very dangerous thing. If you think
it was.
Lee Miltier was interviewing me for her coaching group a couple months ago, and she said, Jim, we got talking about repurposing content. And I said, I'm a big fan of repurposing content. Mm-hmm. You know, truth be told, if you jumped on my newsletters now, it's all fresh content. But if anybody happens to save them, which guaranteed nobody does and goes back, you're seeing some recycled articles. But, you know, I said, Lee, here's the thing. The minute you think that everybody on your list is reading your newsletter, watching your videos, listening to your podcast, and reading your blog, you've got an ego problem, not a business building problem, because nobody's doing that. On any given day or week, somebody may read part of your newsletter. And the really big lesson about newsletters, and I guess we could talk about newsletters a little bit, is that it keeps you top of mind. So if every Tuesday morning, you know, in your inbox, you're going to find my newsletter. If you never read a word, you go, oh, there's Jim, there's Jim, there's Jim. Every Friday, oh, there's Jim's smart marketing update. Oh, that's right, he did another video. What's this one? Nah, I'm not interested in that one. But I am constantly being seen by the people that are on my list or that follow me on social media.
And you know what I do, Jim? I have a junk mail that I use for newsletters because if they, oh gosh, I'd never find my client emails if I didn't. But I have a junk, it's a Yahoo account that I've been using for years and years. And I use that as kind of a pool for ideas. I may not read them, and I may, you know, log in about this week and I've got hundreds of newsletters, but I'm looking for an idea, or I'm, you know, I have a nebulous thought about something I need to write about. I kind of scroll through and go, aha. And then I take that idea or that topic and then I put my own spin on it and off I go. So for me, a lot of these newsletters, and I only get them from people I really like their work. I can't bother, you know, to read through a bunch of junk emails. And I really use that not as a swipe file because I never copy other people's stuff, but I use it as an idea incubator.
That is exactly right. And, you know, some people, you know, kind of a popular thing sometimes when I'm in a group, oh, I'm unsubscribing to all this. I can't take all this email. And I say, man, that's a big mistake. And they go, why? You actually read all this? I say, no, I don't read it all. But I want to know what people are up to. I want to see what subject lines they're using, and I'll write some down if I read a lead. All you want to do is constantly be educating yourself about who's doing what, and things like that. So, yeah, I don't pretend to read all the e-zines I get. And I subscribe to maybe about 6 or 10. I don't subscribe to 30. But it is such an education, and you just got to always be educating yourself and seeing what's going on. One of the people last fall that wanted to get in my coaching program and was just really struggling, and, you know, it's one of those conversations. I said, you got to put skin in your in the game, or, you know, you're not going to take it seriously. But he, in the end, he said, I can't afford it. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you something. If you go back and watch all of my videos, if you read my books, you are going to have such an education, you won't believe it now, you know, seriously, because it's all there, right? So, but will that person do that? I have no clue. But in reality, I mean, you can't keep reinventing and coming up with all these new marketing and things. It's some of it is just hearing things at the right time in your life when you're ready to be receptive. And so, you know, that's that was a lesson there.
So, yeah, subscribe to us, and I'll do whatever you need to do. So, candy. But I've got newsletters that I kept from, oh, geez.
Hey, Denise, you're kind of garbled right now. I wasn't sure what you just said there. Yeah, I can hear you ask me the question. It just sounds kind of garbled, like the phone's cutting in or out or something. But
here, so who knows?
The little gremlins don't want the information to get out.
Apparently not. Guess not.
There you are. Okay. I'm sorry.
Phones.
Okay,
want
to do that?
If something happens, yeah.
Okay.
Is this any better?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. It's crazy. We have a tornado watch going on, so there's really no telling what's going to happen. So, I'm a train of thought.
Denise? Oh, goodness.
No.
I can't hear you, Denise. I can't hear you at all, Denise, right now.
I have no idea what has happened, but it looks like we may have to end this call, and I'm so sorry because we're having a great conversation. We only had about 11 minutes left. What I will do is I will get Jim to come back on another call, and I don't know if this is storm-related or talk radio-related, but we'll definitely get Jim to come back. Thank you, everybody, for being here. It will be about what the part of the show is.
Denise, if you can hear me, I will come back on your show at any time, as early as you want. Just let me know. We'll put it on the schedule, and we'll keep having a great conversation.
Oh, great. Well, Jim just popped in. He can't hear me. I can hear him.
I can hear you now. Denise, I can hear you now.
You can?
I don't know. I know you got. There's some severe storms going on, but
yeah.
That was...
Well, I was just telling everybody goodbye and saying that I'm going to get you back, and then you popped in and said you would come back, so there's a meeting of the minds. But let's keep on going. As long as you can hear me, we've got about 10 more minutes.
Okay.
And I don't want to end this, but I would love to have you come back.
I'd love to come back. This is fun. You know, I love the interviews where you don't get the standard, how do you name a newsletter? Not that I don't love talking newsletters, but what I really, really love is talking about business and how to, you know, entrepreneurial success tips, and I love helping, you know, people grow and stuff. So this is an awesome, awesome time for me.
Well, and this is what we do. I have a VA group on Facebook, and it's what we do in that group. We help one another. We support one another. We're making sure that the right information is out there that they can access. To me, look, I know that there's a lot going on in the economy, not just here, but in the whole wide world. I don't know about you, Jim. I refuse to participate. I make my own economy.
You know, I'm glad to hear you say that. And I made a decision. In fact, I wrote about this a little while ago. I 4 years ago, I got completely off news, any kind of negative input.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm completely candid. I fell off the wagon in a major way this past year with the whole presidential election. I kept telling myself I need to be informed. Next thing I know, I'm watching cable news shows where they're yelling at each other. And I mean, I got to hear what this person says. Oh, that's not right. You know, I got completely hooked. And on election night, at 1 a.m., I remember this, I turned off the TV, and I have not watched 1 ounce of news, no cable, no talk radio, no nothing. And Denise, my business is taken off. I mean, I never really slowed down, but I look at now the amount of time that I must have been being consumed from news,
right,
and basic negative chatter, because all news is negative. Otherwise, they can't hook you in. So I recognize
garbage.
That.
It's
garbage. And
yeah.
So in this extra time, I have got my book. My book reading has dramatically off the charts again, because I used to read a ton of books, and then I kind of slack. I'm reading books. I'm watching DVDs. I'm just exercising more. And I am so positive. I mean, I launched my coaching program, and I significantly increased my prices this year. And I don't know if I would have done that had I not, you know, cleaned out the crap out of my mind. And
well, it's draining. I did the same thing. I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I am – a political junkie. I have been all of my life. I'm fascinated with it. These days, though, I am so appalled and sickened by it that I can't stand it. But I'll tell you what, I watched that election, and at the end of it, before Mitt Romney even gave his speech saying thanks, everybody, goodbye, I shut it off, and I never went back. I have not watched any news. I get what information I get off of the internet and sometimes from other countries. And I just refused to get sucked in because it was so negative, and I felt so bad. I was angry. I was angry all of the time. And I said, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with all of you people. Heck with all of you. I will work around you. I will blow you, you know, go under you, blow up your little things. I'm not playing with you. But I'm also not going to play in your stupid economy either.
Yeah. When it comes right down to it, I'm informed. You know, I walk through an airport. You can't help but catch headlines here.
Yeah.
So I'm not oblivious to what's going on. But the truth of the matter is, you know, there's other than casting a vote the way you want, there's not a lot you can do to impact what's happening. You'd like to think you're powerful, and why, if they could just listen to me, you know, why don't you just do this? You know? But in reality, all you can really control is your own little world. And so the more you, for me, it's about my family, my faith, and my business, and that's what I focus on, because that's where I can have an impact. And it's it's hard because, you know, as you say, you get angry with some of the decisions being made, and not to go there, but, you know, I was not happy, and I get quite angry, and so I cannot participate. I can't even have a conversation with somebody because it's so maddening.
Well, it is, it's frustrating, but here's the thing, and you said something so important, and I had the same exact experience. You know, once I said, I am not watching any more of this drivel. Yeah, I'm not paying any further attention to, and I am well informed. I go to Breitbart, and, you know, I mean, I'm all over the place as far as online, and then I read it, digest it, make my own decisions. I just won't watch it anymore or listen to it. And I got so productive once I shook off that just low-level sense of dread that was overtaking me. It really was. It was actually physically hurting my stomach.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I pulled my you know, I've got a gym in my home, in my garage, and I spend more time out there. You know, I'm outdoors playing with my dog. I live in the deep south. We dig holes. We plant stuff. We move it because it overgrows. You know, we just, my therapy is I dig holes. Don't ask. It's a long story.
Oh, it's physical. I mean, there's no
it
secret
works.
There. Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, I freed up that time fighting against something that I have zero control over.
Yeah.
And put that time into things I do have control over.
So, hey, Denise, in our closing minute or two, can I give a one more nugget here?
We have 5 minutes, and this will actually keep on streaming, so take all the time you like.
Okay. One of the smartest things I think people can do is start doing video. I know that's no great revelation, but there's clearly not everybody's doing video. Not everybody's comfortable doing video, whatever
the hang-up
is.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If you're a good writer, you know, with your words, you can bring people in and maybe make a connection. You can bold or italicize a word. You hope they're going to read it in the way you're saying it in your head as you write it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the next level is doing voice, like doing teleseminars or something like that. So people can hear your voice inflection. They can feel your energy and things like that. So that's next. But what's really, really powerful is doing video because, first of all, they're going to see the real you, so you can't hide. So be authentic is probably one of my main points. But, you know, nothing is helping people get to know you faster. And when they get to know you, a certain percentage will get to like you and trust you. It came to mind, or it came to light. I mean, I've always believed that, but I made a decision when I started doing videos. I felt very awkward. I bought the $100 flip camera like everybody had, and you know, you hold your arms straight out, and I'm looking up, and I'm like, God, this feels awkward. Are people looking up my nose? And, you know, I don't want to look like an idiot. I mean, I had all those little voice chatter, and then something happened. I started getting a couple comments when I would actually shoot a video out by the lake, or I started doing them in my kayak, and I said, oh my God, people are watching, and they're not commenting on my brilliance, they're commenting on the kind of the entertainment factor. And so what I do with my videos, here's what I think is a secret, is I combine entertainment with a little information. And the entertainment is not me juggling chainsaws, it's just filming it in different places. Oh, you don't want to see that. I am Tim the Toolman Taylor. I can build stuff, but I hurt myself every darn time. So, but you know, you've got to get away from the chest up, you know, headshot that your little, you know, your laptop camera is going to show. So I will go out in different places in my yard. I'll shoot in different corners of my office. I'll shoot them on my couch. I'll film it with walking Toby around the lake. I'll do all these different things because I think when people are connected to you, when they feel a connection to you, they're curious, so they want to learn more about you. And so all I do is I combine a little information with a small amount of entertainment, and that's what hooks people. This, probably about a year ago, I got a call from a gentleman who was wanting to talk about coaching. And he said, Jim, I'm going to tell you something. I think of you as the Andy Griffith of marketing. And I was like, wonder what he means by that. And really, I quickly came to realize Andy Griffith, if you think about it, is kind of the down-home, trustworthy guy, very honest. But he just dispenses, you know, he talks in a very, you know, comfortable way. And that's how I try and do it. I'm just me. I don't try and be anything other than who I am. And if it repels a few people, that's okay. Hopefully it attracts more than are repelled. But that was the linchpin for me. And so if I screw up a word, I just let it roll, or, you know, it's a conversation. So my final thing on video, Okay, do you want to ask me a question? Or?
No, no, you're right. I love this that you said conversation. I mean, that's what we do. You have to have a conversation. You can't be pointing your finger at somebody and saying, do this, buy this.
Right.
That will turn people off so quickly.
Yeah, so my final little tip is this. You have to think about one person. So, you know, some marketers may say, think about your perfect targeted prospective customer, whoever that is. For me, it's a real person. I think of one person who is a client, been a client, actually became a friend, but this person kind of gets me and likes my advice. So when I'm doing a video, I look right in the lens, and all I think of is this person. And when I'm looking in the lens, I'm talking to this person, and that is the conversation I have. And it's not with thousands of people. It's with one person, and that's it. So other people feel like when they're watching the video, if you're looking at don't tape notes, like even like a couple inches below the lens, and think that they can't see your. They absolutely see your eyes. They're not looking in the lens. So look in the lens and have a conversation and have it frequently, and you're going to connect with people, and that's going to be one of the best things you can do to build your business.
Well, there's that authenticity. You know, there's. I think people really get you when you are yourself, and they're either going to love you or not. It's up to them. It's not up to you. And I think that's where people make a big mistake. It's like, well, you know, who is your niche? Well, it's everybody. No, it's not. Who is your customer base? Everybody. No, it's not. But I think the biggest mistake that people make is when they think, oh, well, you know, I've got to make everybody love me. No, it's not up to you. It's up to them. You are not in control of what they think.
That's exactly right, and you don't need to have everybody like you.
No.
You need to have enough clients or customers that it can make you a nice business. You know, I was coaching an accountant at one point, and one of the things I always tell people is you got to write a book. This gentleman said, oh, Jim, accountants don't read books. And I'm like, really? I said, how many accountants are there in the United States? I said, are there like what? 10,000? He says, oh, no, there's like 50,000, or he said some number. I said, okay, and being a little bit of a smart ass, if I'm allowed to say that, I said, do you know
Go
them
ahead,
all?
I say it.
Yeah, do you know them all? He said, well, of course not. I said, well, then you don't know. And I said, let's say out of 50,000, let's say there's 500 of them, okay? 500 out of 50,000 do read books and search Amazon and Google looking for, you know, marketing strategies for accountants and things like that. Out of those 500, suppose they were to read your book or get on a teleseminar and you were able to close, I don't know, 20%. Let's say you close 20% out of 500. That's 100 people would join your coaching program. If you were to charge, let's say you were to charge $250 a month for your coaching program, which is low, that is $25,000 a month. Can you live on $25,000 a month? And my point is, you know, you don't have to have 50,000 people like you. You don't even have to have 500 people like you. If you can have 100 people like you who will pay you $250 a month, you've got one kick butt business. So that's a good way to think about that.
Right, right. I am so glad we had this chat today, and I can't wait to have you come back on the show. This has been fun.
This has been a lot of fun, and I've got more. So you just send me a note. Let me know when you want me back, and we'll continue this fun fest.
Well, if you've got a minute, I'll call you right back as soon as we log off of here.
Let's do that. Call me right away because I need to run out to an appointment. But I will call you, or you call me right away.
I'll call you right away. Well, listen, Jim, thank you so much for being here. To our audience again, thank you for being here, and I apologize for the technical glitches, but. I'm so glad that Jim was able to hear me eventually. This show will be available for download in about an hour. You can find us in iTunes. Just type in my name. Excuse me. And this is Denise Griffiths and Jim Palmer wishing you a wonderful weekend. And I will see you next week. Thank you, Jim.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.